Beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the blessed opportunity we have to be here at this Thy house with the opportunity of worshiping Thee, and pray that Thy Spirit might be with us, that as we have met together for a few moments today, that we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth, that Thy servant may preach Thy word, Thy people may hear and understand, and above all, it may be to Thy praise and glory, and then to the good and edification of Thy people. This we ask together with the forgiveness of our sins, in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. Last Sunday, I tried to preach on the total depravity of man. That is, that man, until the grace of God comes and touches his life, is totally depraved, or totally evil, or sinful, and that's the way his life will be. And it will never be any better until the grace of God comes and touches our lives. Alright? What are one of the ways then that the grace of God comes and touches our lives? We can't go to God, and God will not come down to us. Even now, we cannot go to the Father, and God the Father will not come down to us, because even though we have spiritual life and try to live godly, but because of our sins, God will not come down to us. Now, why can we in some way go to the Father? And the reason that we can go to the Father is because there is a mediator between us and God. There's a mediator between us and God. The mediator in some ways at our house, we get water from Upson County water system. I don't know just exactly our authority or whatever the title is there. But if you never worked for pipes in the ground, that water wouldn't be very good. We get electricity from REA, I suppose it is, and were it not for the wires, then that electricity wouldn't do us a whole lot of good. And so the Jesus Christ is the mediator. It is like the pipes in the ground or the wires on the poles that come into the house. So the idea there's a source of it, and then we are the recipients of it. And so those facilities in the ground and on the poles then help us with that. All right. One passage of Scripture that always comes to mind as I think of Jesus Christ as the mediator between us and God is 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Again, that's 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. And it reads, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Again, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Alright, first of all, in that verse of Scripture, there is one God. There is one God. There are many gods worshipped by some people. Gods, again, that's with a little g. There are many gods worshipped by some people. I remember an older minister many years ago said, "Men have worshipped birds. Men have worshipped reptiles. Men have worshipped, and maybe still do, heavenly bodies." For instance, there is astrology. That is, some people want to every day get their fortune and so forth, because the stars determine something about that. And so, men have worshipped those heavenly bodies in a variety of ways. Men have been called gods. One of those that was decreed that he was God was Julius Caesar. You remember what happened to him? He's no longer with us. Well, he would have been dead anyway, but he didn't die. He didn't live as long as he thought he may live, because a number of those in the Roman Senate, including one of his best friends, stabbed him to death. And so men have worshipped men. That's through the years. Men have decreed to their divine. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, kings of Babylon. Adolf Hitler, by the way, was one of those. The Idi Amin in Africa, terrible dictator, decreed that he was divine. And others throughout the years have decreed that they were divine. But there is one living and true God. One living and true God, and he's called that in 1 Thessalonians, our God, excuse me, is called that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9 at the end of that verse. all others are false gods. Since there is only one living and true God, all others are false gods. Alright. And there is one mediator between God and men, and that mediator between God the Father and us is the man Christ Jesus. Alright? What is a mediator? Well, a mediator is one that brings two opposing sides together. Again, a mediator is one who brings two opposing sides together. That is, again, there's God and us, and because of our sins, then there's a separation between us and God the Father. But thank God that there is a union. We can go to the Father, but we can't go straight to Him. We have to go through the mediator, Jesus Christ. And so thank the Lord that He is the mediator between us and God. All right. Again, Jesus is the mediator between God and us. All right, here's a question. What qualifies Him to be a mediator? What qualifies Jesus to be a mediator? Well, He is God and man together. You see, I remind you again, there's God way up high and us way down low. And because of our sins now, we cannot go directly to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And that's one of the reasons that in our prayers we close the Mass, most of the time anyway, in Jesus' name. I know one of our ministers was told and asked to pray a public prayer, and he did. And just before he prayed, or shortly before he prayed, someone told him, don't pray in Jesus' name. So he prayed in the name of the Most Holy. Same thing. Alright, anyway, we pray in Jesus' name. Why? Among other things, because He is the mediator between us and God. And so, there's a separation, but you see, here's Jesus Christ. He is God and man together. God and man together. He is the Son of God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, we find these words. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's the angel speaking to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so she didn't understand the fact that she could have a child, even though she did not know a man. And the angel explained to her just exactly how this was going to come to pass. And then the message was, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus also is the Son of Man. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 48, we find these words. When Judas Iscariot was coming towards Jesus with a band of soldiers, and he kissed Jesus, and he said, Jesus asked him, to put in more modern terms, he said, do you betray the Son of Man? And so Jesus is God and man, because He's the Son of God, and He's also the Son of Man. Because He's God and man together, you see, He's not just God that can't come down to man, or He's not man that can't go up to God, but He's God and man together. And I've heard it said this way, and I believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe it by faith. He's 100% God, and at the same time, He is 100% man. He is the God-man. Now, think of it in this way. As a mediator, he doesn't take sides. He has interest in both. He is God, and so certainly He has the interest of God. He came down into this world to do the will of the Father. But He also, as man, has an interest in man. And so as the interest of God and man, He can bring man up to God. And I'll say more about that towards the end of the message. All right. But as Jesus again, He is a mediator because He is God and man at the same time. Because Jesus is our mediator, He is the Word of God. Now think about that again. Because Jesus is the mediator between us and God, He is the Word of God. John chapter 1 verse 1, He's called the Word of God. And that verse of Scripture reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. Now, we communicate, as you know, with words. In fact, that's the only way we communicate with each other. Some of you may be thinking, what about sign language? Well, Catherine took courses in that, and she could do that some. But anyway, listen. Let me give you one word. Now, that's sign language. All right? Now, it is holding the hand of Jesus. Holding the hand of Jesus. Jesus' book. You see, it's sign language, but it represents words. And so it's representative of the Bible. This is the book of Jesus Christ. All right. And so the only way we can communicate with one another is through words. All right. Now, and Jesus is God's communication to man. Jesus Christ is God's communication with man. Jesus has always been the mediator between God and men because He is the eternal Word of God. You can say He's the eternal many other things, but one of the things He is the eternal Word of God. Look, if you will, in your Bible, if you wish to, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. And it reads, "After these things, the Word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Alright, and so the Word of the Lord came in a vision to Abram. And then in verse 4 of Genesis 15 it reads, "And behold, the Word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." Now, we won't get into the other things there, but notice what he says. First of all, in the vision, the Word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and then, in verse 4, I may not word it just exactly the same way, but then the Word of the Lord came unto him, saying, let me say this, to understand this better, there are a number of times in the Old Testament Scriptures that there is an appearance of Jesus Christ as a man to give God's message. He appeared to Abraham, He appeared to Moses, and there are others to whom Jesus appeared. Let me give you this expression. This expression, the Word of the Lord came, is mentioned 92 times, or found rather, 92 times in the Old Testament Scripture. The expression, the Lord came unto me saying, occurs 42 times in the Old Testament Scriptures. And so, Jesus, brothers and sisters, is the eternal Word of God, and He's God's eternal communication with His people. Alright? Jesus, as a mediator, is like the median in an interstate highway. I heard Elder Woodrow Beasley tell me this years ago when I was in a congregation where they were preaching, and I don't remember where that was. But Jesus, as a mediator, is like the median, first three syllables, first three letters anyway, first four, five, are the same. He's like the median of an interstate highway. And he mentioned this. He says, the median of the highway keeps those lanes together, whether north and south or east and west, or whether it's a perimeter or like in Atlanta, or whatever it may be. The median keeps those two sides together. Now, and so the lesson there is that Jesus brings us to the mercy and to the grace of God. And then, not only does it keep them together, but it keeps them apart. Now, I know there are times there have been problems or whatever, different things have happened, won't get into that, but the median keeps those lanes of the highway, the north and south, east and west, and so forth, keeps them apart. The lesson there is that Jesus protects us from the wrath of God. Now, here's another one that I learned years ago, and that is that Jesus, as the mediator, is like a bridge. Jesus, as the mediator between us and God, is like a bridge. It brings two parts of the road together. Now, my first job was right out of high school, was with the State Highway Department, as it was called then. And I worked for the survey crew. And I worked around Dublin for a while, then to Macon. But when I went up to Macon to work there, then one of the first things we did was to measure for a bridge. And I found that in order to, a bridge is something that has to be precise. even to the 100th of an inch. It has to be just exactly that precise. Now, he said a road could be off a little bit of that. He said you don't build a bridge to a road, you build a road to a bridge. Because a bridge has to be just exactly that precise. I remember there's a chain that we use to measure distances. Now, it was more or less like a long, 100-foot long steel tape. This one had to be different. It was a calibrated chain. It had a thermometer on the chain. And there was for each chain, each one of those calibrated chains, there was a list of instructions with it. That is, that at a certain temperature, let's say 90 degrees, that chain may be 100 feet, but it may be 100 and maybe 2/10 of an inch longer. We had to take that into consideration. And so it had to be precise in every way. Listen, brothers and sisters, Jesus was precise in doing the will of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, it says, "Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will." Well, I got the wrong verse. I got the 9th verse. So let me turn over there and get that correctly. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. And it reads, "Then said I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." That is, Jesus came to do the will of God. But there's an expression in parentheses there. He says, "In the volume of the book, it is written of me." And so that means in all the Old Testament scriptures, the predominant subject there, or the predominant message in all the Old Testament scriptures, is that Jesus came to do the will of God. And there were, I remember that when Jesus was speaking to, three men, all the three disciples on the road to Emmaus, He opened unto them all the things that were taught of him in the law and in the prophets and in the Psalms. That is, all of the Old Testament scriptures. That was about Jesus Christ in one way or another. He taught them those things. And so everything that Jesus did, I mean literally everything that Jesus did in raising the dead, healing, his teaching, and everything he did was prophesied in one way or another, or outlined in the Old Testament scriptures. In John chapter 19, and I'll paraphrase this, he said, "Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, he said, I thirst." Well, there's a verse of scripture, Psalm 69 verse 21, that had to be fulfilled. That is, it says that they gave him vinegar to drink. Jesus said, "I thirst," so that they might bring him the vinegar to drink. And then in John chapter 19 verse 30, Jesus said, "It is finished." Now, and the word "finished" there is accomplished in the first verse of scripture that I gave you, John chapter 19 verse 28. Then they're translated from the very same Greek word, teleo, which means "it is accomplished." When someone was in prison, and he spent all the time, however many years, it was 5 years. If he had been in prison 5 years, then his paper was stamped. Taleo. Paid in full. No more. He could be out of prison. When someone owed a debt, then when that debt was paid, the paper was stamped. Taleo. That means paid in full. And that those three words, "it is finished," is translated from that one very Greek word. So Jesus accomplished all of the will of God. Alright? What are some ways that Jesus is the mediator between us and God? Well, first of all, Jesus was a mediator on the cross. There is a symbol there of Jesus' being between heaven and earth as he's there on the cross, lifted up there, not on the ground, not altogether in the heavens, but a symbol of his being between heaven and earth. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ and not on us. And Jesus died there on our behalf. And I'll just say one thing about that is that if we want to know something about the seriousness of sin, look at Jesus. Look at his death on the cross. Consider what he suffered before he went to the cross. And many people, or a number of people anyway, died as a result of the torture that they experienced as Jesus did, and they never made it to the cross. And then crucifixion was something that was not invented by the Roman government, but something they used to strike terror into the minds of the people. That is, if you go against the Roman government, this is what's going to happen to you. Sometimes men, when they were crucified, stayed days and weeks on the cross when they just literally smothered to death. And so that tells us something about the awfulness of our sins. But, and Jesus had to die in that way on our behalf to redeem us from our sins. Not only did He die on the cross for us, but He intercedes for us at the right hand of God. Romans chapter 8. Let me turn over and read that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. And it's a familiar scripture to all of us. And it reads, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Then I might tell you, "Well, you're not good enough to be saved." Well, you know what? That's a true statement. I'm not good enough to be saved. None of us are good enough to be saved. And were it not for the work of Jesus on the cross, we never would have been saved from our sins. But He did that. Thank the Lord for that, my brothers and sisters. But think of it in this way. Doesn't matter what someone else may say about us. Jesus sits at the right hand of the throne of God to intercede for me and for each of you. That's what Jesus does for us. Jesus intercedes for us at the right hand of the throne of God. And He petitions God for the blessings we need. If there are natural blessings we need, Jesus petitions the Father for that. Listen, I need to remind you, Jesus is the Son of Man. And as a man, when Jesus walked among men, Jesus had physical needs. There were times that He was hungry. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Do you think we know anything about hunger? Not compared to that. Jesus, there were times He was thirsty. Remember, that's one of the sayings on the cross. I thirst, John, and so forth. Jesus had physical needs. There was one time when Jesus said, "The birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not to lay his head, not a place to lay his head." Now think about that. Jesus knew about what physical needs are. And because as a man, He knows what physical needs are, Jesus intercedes for us that the Father would give us the natural needs that we have. And there are spiritual blessings. Listen, Jesus intercedes at the right hand of the throne of God for the spiritual blessings we need. We need blessing in prayer. Jesus intercedes that we'll be blessed in prayer. Jesus prays for us. Listen, He prayed for Peter when He knew Peter was going to deny that He knew Him 3 different times. He prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail. Now, do you think that's something that Jesus did for Peter and won't do for us or doesn't do for us? He does that for us also. He prays that the Lord will bless us in worship. If we feel like we don't have the spiritual blessings as we feel like we also, then every one of us should ask ourselves the question, have I prayed for it? And that's me too. We ask ourselves the question, have I prayed for it as I ought? And then with sin in our lives, did you know that Jesus petitions the Father so the Father would forgive us of our sins? Yes, He does that. But let me tell you, add something to that. Do you think God the Father grants those things that Jesus petitions? Do you think He does? He absolutely does. And I'll tell you why. The reason I think that He absolutely does is because Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one in every way. And so I believe that Jesus so much as thinks it, then the Father would grant, because they are one in every way. Now think about that. Jesus does that for us. Now, all the blessings that we have come from the God the Father, but they come through Jesus Christ as the mediator. Now think about this. Jesus will come in the resurrection. Jesus will come in the resurrection. There are a number of favorite scriptures I guess I have about the resurrection. And one of them is found in John chapter 3. 1 John, big one. 1 John chapter 3 and the first two verses. 1 John chapter 3 and the first two verses. And listen to what these verses, how these verses read. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Alright? We are the sons of God now. Alright? Now, there are other passages that teach that. Now, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, isn't that beautiful? Someday, we're going to be like Jesus in every way. I don't know when that time will be, but someday, whether it's short or whether it's a long time, someday we're going to be just like Jesus in every way. We're going to be righteous like Jesus in every way. We're going to be sinless like Jesus in every way. We're going to be glorified like Jesus in every way. Whatever Jesus is, we're going to have also. Now, and so, and I believe, brothers and sisters, that's the last work of Jesus Christ as mediator. That's right. The resurrection, I believe, is the last work of Jesus Christ as the mediator. Well, because at that time, Jesus will remove any sin and the effect of sin. You see, if I'm living when Jesus Christ comes, I'm a sinner. But Jesus is going to glorify this body of mine. Now, if I pass from this life, I'm not a sinner, but the effect of sin is on me because I would have been buried down in the grave. And so, you see, at least the effect of sin is on me. But at that time, Jesus is going to remove any so much effect of sin that might be on us. And listen, brother and sister, I long for that time. I long for the time when the, even the, every effect of sin will be taken from me. And the longer I live, the less I love this world, and the more I love the hope that's within me when Jesus comes again that final time. I long for the time. I feel like William Cooper when he wrote the hymn, "Oh, for a Closer Walk with God." In that last verse, he said, "I hate the sins that made me mourn and drove me from my breast." Listen, I feel like him sometimes. I hate the sin in my life. And I long for that reason. I long for the time when Jesus comes again, that final time, to raise us up to be glorified as he is. And we will be made righteous in every way, just like Jesus in every way. Jesus will not bring God down to us. He will not do that. Jesus will not make us meet halfway. Because if we meet God halfway, then we're still sinners. And so Jesus will not make us meet the Father halfway. But Jesus will bring us to God in every way. Thank the Lord for that, brothers and sisters. And there's a writer, a hymn writer by the name of Jim Hill. And this hymn I'm thinking about, he wrote the words and music to it. And his name, and the name of the title is, or the title of the hymn is, "What a Day That Will Be." Marvelous. Think about that. What a day that will be. Don't ever think about that song without thinking of Elder Gene Turner. He was a special man. He loved singing, had a good, strong voice. And I was preaching a meeting in the church where his membership was at that time. He was older. And he had both legs amputated above the knee somewhere. And I looked out in the congregation and I didn't see him. And I thought, well, Brother Gene's not here because he's just not feeling well. But I looked over here in the choir. There he was. He loved singing. What a day that will be. Found out he was going to the Bible conference in Indiana. And I was in charge of music up there. And I said, "Brother Gene, can you sing us a special up there if you can think of one?" He said, "Yeah, I'll do it." I knew what he was going to sing, but I wanted to hear him sing again. I love the way he sang it. A strong voice, even in his 80s. And I love the message of that song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I don't remember the other words of it right now. But that will be a day. And then the last verse of the hymn, "How Great Thou Art." when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, where joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Think about it, brothers and sisters. We know that God is a great God. But I believe at the time when we are body, soul, and spirit, resurrected, raised sinless, and glorious as Jesus Christ Himself, it will be at that time and that time only that we can truly say with knowledge, my God, how great thou art. Now I know the expression my God can be an expression used in swearing, and I don't think it's used in that way, but as Thomas said, when he spoke to Jesus, he said, my Lord and my God. And so, listen, brothers and sisters, at that time, when Jesus fulfills His last work as a mediator between us and God, then we can say, my God, how great thou art. If I didn't say that was written by a man by the name of Stuart Hine, H-I-N-E. Now, you may not remember all these things, and I understand that, but I want you to remember this. Jesus is the mediator between us and God. We can go to the Father through Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man. Now, one way of looking at that is God loves us so much that He's made Jesus the mediator between us and Himself. Every blessing we have, brothers and sisters, is from God the Father. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of light, to whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So every blessing we have, however small, however great it may be, comes from God the Father. But listen, brothers and sisters, we have them because Jesus petitions the Father that He might give us those blessings. Now, and they come through Jesus Christ as the mediator between God and us. Thank God that there is a mediator between God and us, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. Thank the Lord for His great and His marvelous love.